Please stand. We will be following the order of service. It's on page 184 in the front part of your hymnal if you would like to follow there. Just a notation, this is the page 15 in our old hymnal. This is what most of us grew up on. And so some of the responses are sung. I've tried to notate that on the screen so that those parts will be sung. And then also, I'm going to thank her after the service, but thank you, Lois, for stepping in this morning. Bonnie Wenzel's mother passed away yesterday, and so I called Lois about 9:30 last night. And I'm glad she didn't think about one deal that she wanted to make with me. She'll spare y'all a lot of... She wanted me to chant, and I'm not going to chant this morning, but she said if she would have thought, she'd have said, I'll play if you chant. But we didn't make that deal last night, so you're spared. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I assure you that all of your sins are forgiven, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
First reading from Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'We must not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit from the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eyes, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans 5, 12 to 17. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there are no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many die by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundance, provisions of grace, and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's sons. This is the word of the Lord. We join in professing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, is loved by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead.
You may be seated, and at this time, if the children would come forward. Phone. Well, cool. You going to give us your number?
I don't have the phone. I believe it's a fake phone.
No, it's a real phone.
It's okay. Let's move on. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good. Good to see all of you here today. I understand that you talked about a certain type of animal in Sunday school today. Is that right?
No?
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, I understand that maybe the younger class talked about something that Eve saw. Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Someone said it, a serpent, right? And so, what did the serpent do? Do you know what the serpent did? It tricked Eve into eating, yes, off of the tree that she wasn't supposed to eat off of. And so, she ate the fruit that she wasn't supposed to. And you know what happened? She gave it to her husband, and he ate, and then what happened? They had to leave, and because sin entered the world, right? And from that point on, every single person that's born, has been born, will be born, will be born in sin. And what that means is a lot of times we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. Have you ever been told to do something and you don't do it? You didn't. So you had to do it this morning. Yeah, see what happens? Yeah, if you don't do it.
Yesterday I had to clean my room and I did.
Well, good. Now, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Now, if our parents tell us not to do something,
don't do it.
But do we?
And did you know, one time when me and my mommy were working on the table in our dining room, Shelby, seen a glass.
Yeah. Swivel. Yeah. It might have been on accident, though, right? But
yeah, it was.
It was. But sometimes we do things on purpose. We meant to do them. And if our parents tell us, don't do that, what do we want to do? We want to do it. But sometimes we do it, right? Boy, we've got a bunch of good kids up here this morning. Yeah, so sometimes we don't listen. I think that's safe to say. There's a lot of times we do the opposite of what we're told to do. And that's all because of sin that came into the world when Adam and Eve ate that fruit. But now we want that kind of broke our relationship with God. And so we want that relationship back. And do you know how we get that relationship back? Do you know who made it possible for us to get the relationship back with God? Jesus. He did. He came into the world. God actually sent his own son into the world to die on the cross. And so that we could be forgiven for those times we don't listen or the times we do things that we're not supposed to. And so that we have eternal life. So this is what I want you to understand. If somebody asks you, how do you get to heaven or how are you saved, what will you tell them?
By believing in God.
By believing in
Jesus.
That's pretty specific. So we need to understand that that is the only way. Because a lot of people get that wrong. And even a lot of adults get that wrong, and even a lot of us as Christians sometimes get that wrong, but the only way to go to heaven and to be saved is through Jesus. It's pretty simple, right? We believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we have forgiveness and life. Okay? Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for dying on the cross to forgive me and being raised to life so that I have the promise of eternal life. Help us to share that message with our family and friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do give you thanks for this day and for our time here this morning. Lord, we ask that as we continue to go through this belief series that you instill in us the true beliefs that we learn from your word. And Lord, that as we approach a fairly tough subject this morning again, salvation, that we understand fully that it only comes through your son, Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would rid our minds now of just a few of the distractions that we might have so that we can simply focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been looking at this Believe series, a couple of weeks ago we started and we looked at God and how I think we've even seen this in the last week and we'll see it even this week, but that key belief that I believe the God of the Bible is the only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We understand that there is that one Godhead, and even though the Bible doesn't ever use the word Trinity, we see instances in places in Scripture where all three of those persons show up at one time, and especially, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, at Jesus' baptism. Very clearly seen there. Last week, we looked at this whole idea that we have a personal God. Now, this is something that sometimes is hard for us to comprehend or even for us to understand and possibly even for us to see as we're faced with challenges, because one of our questions a lot of times is, where are you, God? As we're dealing with everything that life throws at us. And so I thought about this past week on Monday and Tuesday. I was at a pre-Lent workshop. And you know, I'm probably a pastor that has even said it before, that as Jesus hung on that cross, God literally had to turn his back on his own son because he hates sin that much. But there was a painting that our presenter showed us. And I've never seen a painting like that before. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and right behind the cross is the figure of God the Father holding his arms up. And I thought, that's the God I want. I want a God who, even in the midst of my worst circumstance, whether it's my fault or whether it's something that's been thrown on me, I want a God that's holding me up, that's there for me. And I thought, you know, that really plays out when we think about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all three always there. And so even in the midst of Jesus' suffering, even when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's not saying, in a sense, he is saying, where are you, God? But what is that? That shows us his 100% human nature. It puts him right where we are a lot of times in our life when we go, where are you, God? But yet in his divinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all there. And I thought, that's the God we have. It's the God we have when we say, I believe that God is involved in and cares about my daily life. Today we're going to look at salvation, which, when we look at the world around us, is a very tricky subject as well. Because the world throws us all kinds of answers as to where our salvation comes from. What I want us to do for just a moment, we're going to watch a quick clip. It's an interview process asking people how you get to heaven.
How does a person get to heaven? The person dies. Good.
This world, nobody's going to heaven.
I don't know. Never really thought about it.
How does a person get to heaven? I would like to think it's because they're a decent human being.
How does a person get to heaven?
Not the way I'm getting there, that's for sure.
That's a tough one. I don't know. Hopefully, doing the right things.
How does a person get to heaven? Actually, you don't get there because you're already there. It's already every day, you got day, you got night. So you're in heaven and hell all the time. So how are you going to get where you already are?
How does a person get to heaven? How does a person get to heaven?
I have no idea. I'm not a religious. Sorry.
inside is already. So I don't think you get to heaven. I think that something that you just recognize inside of yourself, inside of the people.
To heaven? Not in a good old way. As a purgatory, these days it's like good deeds.
How does a person get to heaven?
I don't know that there really is one. I guess that's one of the things we do in heaven. We work hard.
You know, the easy answer is be a good Christian, a Christian. You could be a good Jew. You could be a good person of Islamic faith. Doesn't matter.
How does a person get to heaven?
Through the front door.
Who opens that front door?
Is that required to have a gate at the time that you arrive? You go right through the front door if they let you in, and if they don't let you in, turn your way and you try another day.
How does a person get to heaven?
Asking Jesus Christ in their heart.
My friends, that's the world we live in. Now, you might be able to tell they didn't record this in Hamilton, Texas, but there are all sorts of answers out there when it comes to the question, how do you get to heaven? I'm glad the one answer, when the guy said, we're already there, I'm glad that that is absolutely not the truth, because I do not want to live here for eternity. But if we really think about it, I thought, you know, one question that goes along with the whole idea of how you get to heaven is, we're talking about salvation today. Why do we need to go to heaven? Why do we need salvation? And it all boils down to the fact, as we go back to the garden, and as I talk with the children this morning, is the fact that we all are born in sin. When Adam and Eve ate that fruit, it corrupted all of creation. And we've talked about this before. It corrupted our relationship with God. It corrupted the perfectness of the garden, plants, animals, everything. But as far as humans are speaking, from that point on, every single person is born into sin. David says it this way in Psalm 51, I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. This is something that people have a hard time with, because when you look at that tiny, cuddly, precious little baby, we don't want to think about sin that's a part of their life already. But I want you to think about this. How quick do you notice sinful behaviors of your tiny, precious, cuddly little baby? I mean, I know people don't like to think of it this way, but when their diaper is dirty, what do they do until they get it changed? They scream their head off. If they're hungry, what do? They scream their head off, and it's no different than your kid coming, I'm hungry, wanting this or that, right? I mean, from the time they're born, they are selfish human beings. And it doesn't get much better, right? I mean, if you really think about the teenage years, or even in between the toddler and teenage years, or if you think about the toddler years, I'm going to say that one of the first words that a child learns to say is, we like to think it's mommy or daddy, right? But it's a lot of times, I'm going to say no. You tell your child to do something, and what do they say? As soon as they can learn that word, they say what?
No.
No. And they will look at you and see what you're going to do, right? Or if you tell them, don't touch that over there because it's hot or it might break, what do? They walk over there and they're watching over their back to see if you're looking and what? Touch it. It's during the teenage years. Of course, I never did do this, I don't think. But, our boys were pretty good about this, but you tell them, you're not going out tonight. What do? They try every which way to sneak out, right? Even adults, you have a discussion, you know, probably finances are a little tight, but us guys are probably pretty good at coming up with every reason that we need a new gun or a new tool, right? Because we're selfish, we want it. Your wife comes to you and says, honey, I don't have any clothes to wear. Oh, really? What is that hanging in your closet? What is that that you can't even get any more in the floor of your closet? I mean, we are selfish. We're mean. We're angry. All because of the S gene. That's a new word for you. Don't go try to look this up in a medical dictionary. But the S gene is sin. I mean, we're all born with that gene into us, and it is part of our life, and from infancy on, it shows its ugly head. But the good news is, we have someone who stepped into our world to cover that sin. And it's Jesus. That relationship between God was broken with us, and from that point on, God had a plan to bring us back into a relationship with Him. And so what I want us to do is look at our key belief for today. And it is, I believe a person comes into a right relationship with God by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus that we enjoy a perfect relationship with God. And as you saw in the video clips, how many people, now I know they picked the people they wanted to pick for this, and hopefully there was more than just the one at the end that said, with a relationship with Jesus Christ. But as we look into our world today, our world will say that it's whatever way you can get there. All roads lead to the same place. Or one way that people, I think, really believe that you get to heaven today is based on how good of a person you are. I am certainly glad it's not because of that. Because I think if each one of us examined our own life, maybe even this morning getting ready for church, we would think, I was not a very good person today. If it were left up to us, and if we got what we actually deserved, we would get death. We would get hell because we are sinful. But Jesus restored that broken relationship. As He came into this world, He lived a perfect life that none of us are able to live or will ever be able to live. And He hung on that cross and He died to forgive us. We talked about grace this morning. A lot of times we say the word grace, and the choir sang Amazing Grace today. And we said, what does grace mean? If you had to define grace for someone, what does it mean? In my book, it means you get something that you don't deserve. And that is exactly what God's amazing grace for us is. We get forgiveness when we really deserve death. Jesus exchanged His life for ours, His perfectness for our imperfectness, so that we could have forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. It is super amazing grace. His love is incredible, and it's something that we need to know and remember. Our Bible verse for today is a very familiar verse, hopefully, for us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I'd like for you to say this with me. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We are saved by God's grace. It's not by our works. It's simply a free gift that's dropped right in our lap. And we receive what God has given for us. We receive forgiveness. And the incredible thing about this is that we get to experience this in various ways. Jesus, Him personally coming into our lives and through the waters of baptism. This morning as we come up to the Lord's table, we will receive His true body and blood that brings us that forgiveness, that brings us the reality of what took place on the cross as He hung there and died for us. And this is something that we're not to keep for ourselves. It's something that we're to share with the world, to tell people about who Jesus is, what he means to us, and what he has for them as well. And I would like to say, in closing, because I've heard this question asked to teenagers, to confirmation kids, to senior youth groups, how does one get to heaven? How is one saved? What is the answer? Through Jesus Christ only. If we try to add but to that, we're adding to the cross, therefore minimizing what Jesus did for us. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. And so if someone approaches you and says, "How are you saved?" it should be as simple and clear as, "I am saved through faith in Jesus Christ." Period. And if they want more, say, "I am saved through faith in Jesus Christ," period. And if they want more, say it again until you get your point across, okay? I pray that as we live in this world, that and as we continue to go through this series, that we do believe that the God of the Bible is the only true God, and that he's involved and cares about our personal life, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus was about to leave, getting ready to leave the world, he prepared his disciples in John chapter 14. He was preparing them. He says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back to get you." And he says, "You know the way." Thomas said, "No, we don't. How can we get there?" What was Jesus' reply in 14:6 of John? "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for our offertory.
Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
You may be seated.
Prayer.
Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that you did send your Son into the world to take on our human flesh and to suffer and die for us, to bring us forgiveness and life. Lord, we ask that you would be with all those who are sick and struggling, those who face challenges each day. We lift up those that we name in our hearts and those that we have listed in our bulletin. We also lift up today Wanda Hubbard and Jackie Blackburn, Gary Tyson, Callaway Hall, all who are struggling with various issues of cancer, their treatments. Lord, we ask that you would surround them with your love at this time, that you would reassure them of your presence in their lives and bring healing according to your will. We also lift up Catherine Hopper this morning, who fell and possibly broke her leg. Lord, we just ask that you would be with her and bring healing to her body. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up the families today of Edna Hopper and Raymond Sider, who have passed away. Lord, surround these families with your love and reassure them of the salvation that we find in your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we lift up our military and our local security personnel. Lord, we thank you for their service. We pray that you would watch over and protect them as they carry out their duties to protect our land. Lord, in your mercy. And gracious God, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, we ask that we come with repentant hearts, that we leave our sins at the foot of the cross, and we come in a worthy manner discerning the true body and blood of your Son for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray all of these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our service on page 194. The Lord be with you.
My spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
body or fast.
May the Lord continue to watch over and bless all three of you as you grow in your faith and love for you. Take and drink the sacred fruit blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you
until the Lord's day.
Thank you.
joyfully serve the Lord.
Thank you.
body, blood of our Lord, strengthen our everlasting. Peace. Joyfully serve the Lord. Please stand. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through faith, the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We remain standing for our closing hymn.